All right, Stevie, when was the last time you started us off with a podcast?
I think it was quite recent, actually.
Yeah, but what has it been something funny?
I'm like, dude, I don't know how funny I can be. I'm so tired. That clinic wore me out.
Yes.
I'd assume so. But I have come up with something funny on the spot here.
Yeah? What's that?
What's something funny is that you guys are in minus 30 and I'm in plus 30. So,
Nadine, do you want friends when you get back to Canada?
Well, you probably don't want me as a friend when I come back because I have to be quarantined for 14 days.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. That's true. Yeah. What's it like down there in Arizona with the virus? Are people going crazy like they are up here?
Yeah, I think people are going a little crazy. The grocery stores were pretty busy and like the canned food's all gone and that kind of stuff. I feel like Canada is also pretty bad, but I don't think the schools and stuff are canceled down here like they are in Canada, but I guess it's better to be safe than sorry. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure. I have read some like mixed stuff. Like, you know, everyone was like chirping and the toilet paper thing was a big joke at first. But if you read some stuff about like over in Italy and Spain, like, you know, they have to pick who to save. And it's like, it's really bad because they didn't quarantine themselves or because they didn't cancel stuff. So maybe we'll be all right because we are being a little crazy at the same time.
Yeah, like if you look at that curve, like if you let everyone get sick all at once, then it's a lot harder. But if you flatten the curve and
the impact could be less.
Yeah, and then there's more room in hospitals and stuff. Like it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I like disagree with, like the biggest thing right now is people that are stockpiling and not leaving enough for the seniors that are coming through because they're the ones that are really affected by this. Yeah. And it's really sad that like, people don't need 500 rolls of toilet paper. Like if you have that, maybe you should be driving around and giving it to people who might be more in need of it.
Well, and it's not just people that want to stockpile it for themselves. It's the people that are buying buttloads and going and selling them for like 50 times the price on Amazon.
It's so crazy. And it is like really, really sad that that's what it's coming to right now.
But yeah, but I think they're putting rules on that. Like they're trying to stop people from doing that on Amazon. So that's good at least.
My mom actually heard around here they're going to like open grocery stores like a certain time. I don't know if it was like earlier or later, but they're only going to let seniors in for a couple hours.
That's a really good idea.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they have to go out and run from grocery store looking for supplies, like they're getting more exposure, which is definitely a lot more risky for them.
Yeah, they're the ones that probably need to be staying in their home, so they do need those supplies so they don't have to go out and risk being exposed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, be considerate, people.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But let's talk about something a little bit more positive. What's it been like being in Canada without me?
Oh, it's cool. Been probably more positive. So relaxing.
No.
Just kidding, Nadine. We miss you.
No, I'm so pumped to hear about your trip. It looks like you're having so much fun and learning so much. And I just can't wait to hear about
it. Seeing the videos you've posted, like, it looks like the way you ride, it just looks a lot more finessed. Like, I don't know. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a very fancy rider when I get back. Yeah. I can tell you that much. Just kidding. But
And actually, even...
Sorry.
I was going to say, and even like in the clinic me and Steph were in, like, I feel like my riding has changed a lot in just 2 days. So
it's
I can imagine
how like little tweaks can like do a lot. Like even Kim Gertowski, she came and rode with us yesterday. Yeah. And one of her biggest things is using your back pocket and like using that your foot to kind of push you more into that saddle. And completely taking, like, it's actually funny because as soon as she saw me ride, she's like, you must have rode English before, hey? And I was like, yep. Like,
usually
because
people
I'm
can
holding
spot
on
that
a lot. Yeah, I'm holding a lot on a lot with my calf.
Oh,
and so doing that, she said just to take your calf completely off and use that foot as almost like a gas pedal and push down and push into that pocket. And it was actually like a really cool way to ride. And I feel a lot more comfortable around the barrels doing that.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear all about your different
And then
tips
like
and
with Sonda, like just riding with her as much as we can. Like it has been raining a lot and like getting flash flood warnings, which is crazy. But I have learned like quite a bit just from just from riding with her and her fundamentals and how she starts her horses, which I'm definitely going to be applying back in Canada.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yes, but it's been really fun here. Like, we've been, it's kind of hard with the coronavirus because we wanted to go bowling and go and do like a bunch of things like later on, but you don't really want to be in the public too much, especially with bowling, with like the, because you have your fingers in them, right?
We've been
riding a lot and then just like visiting with people and like going shopping. The shopping here, like, I know our dollar isn't very good, but like the stuff here is just so cheap, even with the dollar exchange, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's dangerous for Nadine.
I know. Like, actually, Cody did text her boyfriend, and who is friends with my boyfriend, saying that I have a problem. So now he's probably going to be telling him about that. But speaking of Cody, you're going to introduce her to the podcast.
Just wait, Nadine, don't go over that $50 limit. I read that in that Millennial magazine. You don't spend over $50. Or was it $40?
I'm just going to say I spent $130. Let's just say that.
So you've broken that already.
$4 million. Yeah. But yeah, speaking of Cody Lum, we're going to introduce her to the podcast. She has been listening to our podcast since day one. She is here down with Sonda. She is her daughter-in-law, and she is a very handy girl with horses. And she has a really cool horse named Nyx that she also has listed for sale. She's roping and barrel racing off that horse, and she's so fancy rope. Like, that's a beautiful horse.
Ooh, cool.
And then her horse, TJ, is the one that I've been running in Jackpot. And yeah, so we're going to have her on, and we're going to talk a little bit about Arizona and if she has any questions for us. So here's Cody.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Cody. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
I think we actually met and like hung out a little bit at the Hinton barrel race this last year. We were camped beside
you guys.
Yeah,
that was probably my least favorite barrel race of the year. What? The monsoon.
I love that barrel race. I wasn't there last year.
I'm a fair weathered chow girl.
Me too, kind of.
If it's a barrel race though, I just don't really.
Dude, you should have seen this one though. Like, it went underwater.
If you were at Hinton, you'd be like, oh my God. Like, it was like there was hail sinking off your head when you were in the barrel race. Like,
my rain jacket got soaked through. Like, my rubber boots didn't stay dry. Nothing. We were soaked all weekend. It's terrible.
Well, it was like that the year before because I ran in pouring rain and lightning.
They have bad luck for weather.
Like, every year it's like that.
Yeah. So, what are you guys up to today?
We'll probably go out and ride after we do the podcast. Maybe, I don't even know. It's hard because the coronavirus, there's not much to do after we go ride. I usually go to the gym, but I think that's over for my trip down here. Maybe probably. Go rope or something this afternoon.
Yeah. There's a lot of goat roping down here and that kind of stuff. And actually the people that you bought your paint mare from, Steph, they have some goats and some cowboy corgi puppies I wouldn't mind going and stealing.
Oh my goodness.
Super cute.
Oh yeah. Do you rope a bit too, Cody?
Yeah. Before I started hanging around Sonda, I'd say I roped a lot more. Like when I college rodeoed, I only roped and tied goats. So I've just started getting back into more barrel racing since I've been hanging around Sonda, but I kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
You can ride barrel horses in the morning here and then go rope all afternoon. So it's pretty cool.
Living the dream.
What a life.
Yeah. It's not a hard way to live.
It's a pretty nice life here. And do you want to tell us a little bit about your horse, Nyx, that you have down here?
Yeah, I have two horses. So I have my good horse, TJ, and I college rodeoed and high school rodeoed on him. And then I just brought Nyx, who I'm going to try to sell down here, and I've been roping off her a bunch and taking her to jackpots and stuff. And yeah, I bought her from a girl in college and she's been pretty fun. She's all cowbred, so different than Sonda's program, but we've got her figured.
Yeah.
She's a super, super nice horse. She has all the buttons you could ask for. That horse is really, really nice to ride.
And that's the one that you sent for sale?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to try to get into the riding some colts and selling them program. See how it goes.
Well, you got the right mentor there anyways.
Yeah,
I'm pretty lucky.
So Cody, you've been listening to this podcast kind of since the beginning. So do you want to tell us what you think of the podcast and maybe if you have some questions for us?
Sure. I thought it's been pretty cool. Like, I've learned a lot just listening to everybody, everyone's different styles. Like, I think lots of people say things that you wouldn't necessarily think to ask if you saw them, but you just kind of pick up, and that's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed listening to the podcast. I don't really listen to much music, so at the gym, I wait for every Monday, and that's what I do. I listen to podcasts, and I get excited for Monday.
Oh, cool.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's the coolest part about this is just, like, the amount that we get to, like, learn and document and, like, for everybody else and then, like, ourselves too, of course. Like, it's just, yeah, we've already learned so much from all these awesome people we've got to talk
to. Yeah, I can imagine. It's pretty cool. You get to learn from people who have such different styles, and I think you can take a little bit of everybody's program and put it into your own. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that.
I know, even when Kim came and did a lesson with us the other day, I almost felt like a creep because I'm like, I haven't met you, but I know everything about you.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. It will be kind of weird seeing some, like, will we just be like friends or how to go about it?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God. Like, I literally asked you like all my deepest horse questions and I don't even know what you look like. Like, I know what you look like, but not in person, right?
Yeah, it's totally different.
So what are your, go ahead.
Sorry. Do you have any burning questions to ask any of the hosts here with this podcast?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I feel like the people who listen don't necessarily know stuff about all your guys' horses. Like, it'd be interesting to know what you guys do all winter and your colts and all that and your brood mares and
So you guys are kind of wanting to breed some of your horses. So what do you have going on with, like, the breeding wise with your mares?
So I have two mares that are, like, ready to breed as of now, I guess. One is pregnant right now, so she's due. But I actually sold her, and the guy came and, like, looked at her and gave me the cash, but that was, like, a month ago. So I'm thinking about texting him and telling him, like, hey, like, you took way too long, like, to come get this mare. I think I've changed my mind. Because she's going to have a Super Stakes baby in May by that Royal Cartel, who is a son of Corona Cartel. And she's a Birdzilla daughter, so it would be, like, very running bred, that one. And then I just got an older mare off of Chelsea Dreger, who I think you guys said you were hanging out with or neighbors with down there. And she's really cool because she's a daughter of Dr. Nick Barr, and he's produced some phenomenal barrel horses. I'm sure everyone's heard of Baby Flow and whatnot. She's a daughter of Dr. Nick Barr. And then her and a lot of her siblings are producing a lot of, like, top-end futurity champions for Fallon Taylor now. And then there's just many others, like, as good as Nick Gets has been, like, a really prolific sire, and Lindsay Sears' horse, I believe, I better watch what I say here, but I think she had some Dr. Nick Barr bred horses as well that did really well. So I'm excited for her, but she is older, so I know it's taking a chance on breeding her and carrying. So we will see how that goes, and I'll keep everybody updated. But her boyfriend this year is going to be Famous Playboy, who belongs to the Drizners. And we heard a little bit about him from Kim previously. And then we're going to hear from the Drizners too here soon. So super excited about that cross and just crossing my fingers that it does work out. Yeah. What about you there, Stevie? Yeah.
Stevie got a new broodmare. Was it this year?
Yeah, actually, I think I was in PEI when I bought her. So again, I never even seen her before I got her, but she came from Dee Butterfield's program, which I am obviously a big fan of. I bought her daughter. When was that? Maybe when she was a 2-year-old and she's 4 now. And so she is this broodmare that I bought. She is a perfect daughter. And she's out of a Tara's First Love mare. And she's not in foal this year. She's open this year. But I have her booked in, I'm thinking, like, end of April, maybe. It depends when we drive down. I'll bring her down to Edmonton to get bred by Guys Keeping the Fame. So that's going to be
exciting. Yeah, you won that
breeding
this year.
Yeah, I did. I kind of went all out and won.
You really kill it on the Facebook contest.
You literally messaged me and she's like, can you tag all your friends? I'm like, that on there? I was like, I don't, all my horsey friends, they have like 12.
I was like, dude, they don't have to be horsey friends. All they need to do is hit that like button.
Yeah, Yeah, you honestly worked for that one. You should have got two breedings for the amount of work you did for that.
You can let Sierra know. Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Bound to be a gray, though, because that mare's a gray.
Yeah.
He's a gray. Well, I mean, not for sure, but chances are you're probably going to get.
Yeah, and this mare, like, she didn't run that much. She was D's mare. Like, I think she might have taken her to a few futurities, and she was coming along really nice. Like, she was running mid-17s on a standard in Pinoca. But then she got an injury and ended up getting ring bone. So, she wasn't sound. She was a brood mare. But, yeah, she was a really nice mare, coming along really good. So, I'm pretty excited. And I love her baby right now. Like, the four-year-old I have. She's just got such a great mind, and she just feels really good. So, I'm excited for this baby.
Yeah, D is super cute. I really like her.
Yeah. Yeah, I named her D after D. So hopefully that's
and now we're going to a clinic here soon, so that'll be fun.
And I'm bringing the four-year-old, so yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really have a brood mare. I don't really plan too much on breeding. I think I'm just probably going to pick up, like, long yearlings or two-year-olds and start them myself. But I am really interested in this Cowboy Corona, or Cartel Cowboy, right, son? Cartel Cowboy bloodline. Like, there's a little filly for sale that's related to the two Sonda has. And I love big horses. And her, like, two coming three-year-old is probably already, like, 15, three hands high. Like, he is huge. Wow. And that stud throws a lot of height. So, I don't know. And they're so, like, even though they're that big, they still have such a cute little doll face. Like, they're mm-hmm. so pretty, and I just love that. And just so kind. Like, they have, like, the kindest eye. Like, just that's what I look for. Mm-hmm. But for Cash, I think for my pick, like, one day if she gets bred, because she is that. You know, this is actually kind of funny. I just saw her mom for sale on Facebook because she's kind of crazy, and she can't be bred anymore. And she goes back to some really old school race lines that I didn't know about. So maybe that's why she can be a little bit hot. But I think what my cross would be that Fury of the Wind stallion at Donette and Casey's Burnt River Quarter Horse Ranch.
He's
that Fury of the Wind, and he's beautiful too. And I don't know, or even like this Cowboy Cartel horse too that I would breed her to, but that'll be further down the road unless Cole decides to buy me another broodmare. But I doubt that.
Is that stallion, is he in, he's in Alberta, right?
Yeah, he's actually in Edson.
Oh, okay.
Sylvia Shirley owns him.
Cool. And is this like Sonda's first batch of these ones?
Yeah, this is Sonda's first batch of these ones. Yeah.
They're both really nice minded, super mm-hmm. super nice minded. And actually the Super Stakes second place winner was a Cartel Cowboy at last year at the Super Stakes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
That's round one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I think, like, even for my dream cross, he would be in there because I just love the mind that's thrown.
Yep, that's important.
Any more questions, Cody? No?
What about you, Cody? Do you have any broodmares or aspirations to breed, or do you like buying them when they're on the ground?
Well, I just started getting into buying some foals. This year, I won the Tack to Fame stud fee at the full release sale, so I'm going to breed one of Sonda's mares to him, and I'm super excited about that because I've got to ride Sonda's Tack to Fame, and he's pretty cool. And then I just have some colts at home. I have a little cowbred colt. He's actually a full sibling to my mare that I really like. And then I have a Can Fabulous in Vegas 3-year-old that I'm pretty excited about. Sonda's been helping me a bunch. And then I just bought a yearling last year, so I guess he'd be 2 this year. And he's out of LeClaire's Streak of Flame stud and a cowbred mare by Von Starlight. And that's the stud that Justine Elliott's Blondie's horse is out of.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, I think it'll be a cool cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're like, honestly, I don't know what we're going to do when we have to go horse shopping, because there are so many people we talk to with some really cool horses. That's for
wouldn't
sure.
be not hard to find it, yourself a nice prospect.
Once you start looking, it's like, oh my goodness, there's so many nice horses. How am I ever going to choose?
seriously. Mm-hmm. But we'll definitely have to spend some time with Sonda and Cody. And it's really cool that Cody's been listening to the podcast. And there's a couple people down here that have made comments about how they listen to the podcast as well, which has been super cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you guys have any other questions for Cody about the podcast?
I was just going to make a comment that Stevie has a tack to fame horse too. So you guys will have to keep in touch with
him. And I love him.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. They're super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first one I've had. And he's only, he's three this year. So, and he feels so nice.
I've seen quite a few down here that are really nice. And I know Sonda's had good luck with lots too. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. He feels a lot different than my little perfects. That's for sure, but
yeah, I bet.
But I'm excited.
He's a big boy, and mm-hmm. he's just like, yeah, he seems very like nice-minded. Just
yeah,
like, yeah, level-headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're so pretty young. Cool horses. He's a cool stud.
But he feels like he's gonna be very powerful. Like, I don't know, just a total different feel.
Yeah. I'll be exciting to watch you guys. I'm excited to see mm-hmm. all your colts and stuff come up.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, and thank you so much for listening and everything. Yeah. Chatting with us today.
Yeah, no, it's been, I think we made like a lot of different friendships with people. Like we can go up and talk to someone at a jackpot that we don't necessarily know, which has been a really cool part of this podcast. And
yeah,
I think the horse world is actually so small, right?
I know.
Even like Mel, we were doing a clinic with him this weekend and he's like, if you're in the horse world, like you're my friend, don't matter the discipline, like we're all family kind of thing.
So
like
cute.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
But that's how it is.
I was going to say, Cody, you should tell us about some people that you run into at the time-only lineups or warm-up arenas here.
Mm-hmm, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, obviously, I ride with Sonda all the time, which is cool in its own, but, like, there's so many people. Like, I've rode with Kim a couple times. She lives just across the road. She rides her horse over and comes and gives us a mini lesson, and then you'll be in the lineup with, like, lots of people like Raelle Little, Kirstie White, Lynette Broadway.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm missing people, but anyone you can think of, they've been here, and like you could lean over to Kirstie and ask her a question about your horse and she's more than happy to answer your questions. It's pretty cool. Like even lots of famous girls who went to a jackpot with Nellie Miller and Sister was there, and that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Sydney Blanchard and just lots of cool people that growing up as a kid. Yeah, Cassie Dennison's at pretty well every Friday night jackpot here. I think she lives somewhere around here, and I rope a lot too. So there's pretty cool people just at the roping jackpot down the road. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see all the people you kind of idolize and look up to as a kid. And you can ask for advice or go ride with them, and everybody's happy to help and give you advice. It's super cool.
Yeah, it's cool because like everyone starts somewhere, right? Like they were once, once at this level as well, and they were once beginners.
And I think it's super important. Like I like to ride with lots of different people and try to incorporate everybody's little tips and tricks into how I'm starting to ride horses and train horses. So to have all these different people here with different styles, I've learned more this winter than I have ever riding. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah.
So moral of the story is to come down to Arizona.
Pretty much.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these years.
Yeah. I got lucky because actually I met Cody. Well, I've known Sonda. Well, I didn't know her personally, but I was friends with Shay and Kale, her sons, through rodeo. And then me and Cody got to know each other because Cole, my boyfriend and her boyfriend Shay, they ride both together and travel together, and they're pretty good buddies. And since they've both been laid off work, I think they talk on the phone like 5 hours a day, and they play Call of Duty with each other, which we're just like, oh,
moral
my God.
Support.
But yeah, but it was actually really cool because Cody messaged me to come down here, and I was just so on the fence. I'm like, I even told you guys, I was like, I want to go so bad, but I don't know if I'll be able to like go and like be comfortable like when I get back financially. And my boyfriend just kept pushing me. And then finally he booked a ticket for my birthday, and him and Cody were talking and Sonda and Shay. And so it was really, really cool. And I will never forget my experience down here and meeting people and really getting to ride with Fonda every day has been like, I don't know, you can't even put a price on that.
Yeah, exactly.
You could literally do a podcast every day down here with just people around the block from Fonda. Like,
no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like when you have five neighbors who have been to the CFR, to the NFR, just really handy people down here. Just even sitting at a jackpot and watching them ride, you learn a lot without even talking to them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet.
There
yeah.
was even something I was struggling with a bit, and Cody's like, look at this video of Christy White just riding this horse. And it just made so much sense just even just watching a run that Cody recorded. It was that run, I think, right? Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good tip. Like even just, yeah, like if you're not riding or something, or you can't bring your horse to something, like just being able to watch an event and watch those top hands like, do their thing is.
I have learned so much this summer by just asking, like
winter.
It feels like summer here, but like I would say, don't ever be scared to ask. No, everybody is so friendly. You might be intimidated, but I swear everybody will help you if you ask, and you learn so much. Like, just ask. Don't be afraid. You'll learn more by asking than just sitting on it and hoping you get your answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone does seem to be so helpful. Like even with this podcast, you know, you are reaching out to some people at the very top of the game, and it's kind of like, oh my goodness, intimidating or whatever. But everyone's been so open to just like help out and share their knowledge and shed light on the sport of barrel racing. And yeah, it's been great. And everyone's been great.
And the worst they can say is no. And then you just go ask the next person.
Exactly.
I think the best piece of advice I got down here, I've been roping with Taylor Flewelling a lot. And I was really worried about what everyone thought about my roping and my barrel racing and even time onlying horses. She says it, Fonda says it, nobody cares. Just go on about your own thing. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. If you have questions, ask.
Yeah.
Nobody's making fun of you for your horse not working at the barrel race. Everybody's been there. Go on about your own thing and ask lots of questions.
Yeah.
It's good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll let you go.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for taking all this time out of your morning for us.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Bye.
Hey, thank you so much. We'll chat with you guys soon.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that conversation we just had with Nadine and Cody Lum all the way down in Arizona. We would like to introduce to you our next cowgirl, who is a multiple 1D and rodeo winner. In 2010, she was the LRA High Point champion. She was also a trailer winner and the Canadian Derby champion. In 2014, she was the CBHI Super Stakes champion and the WRA champion. We would like to introduce to you Sonda Marks.
Hey, Sonda and Nadine, how's it going down in Arizona?
We are hot. Yep, it's going to be 26 today. It's going to be nice. Wow. Yeah, it's weird to be on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, no kidding.
You looked pretty burnt in your Instagram stories there yesterday.
Yeah.
I burnt to a crisp, you guys. Like, I was out like an idiot. Like, we were riding horses, and I was in a freaking tank top thinking I was going to be like all good without sunscreen, but the sun is a lot different down here, that's for sure.
You know,
I think we're out from 10 till 2 o'clock both days. Yeah.
Nadine, you should have used my coconut oil trick.
You know what? I was thinking about that, but then I thought I would have freaking burnt. Like, I would actually like probably been like a freaking burnt.
No, man, it works really good.
I guess I should re-listen to that podcast then.
Yeah.
And then brushing horses and all the hair would have stuck.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Even yesterday, I was like brushing a horse and I was smiling and like all the freaking hair like came on my face because I had like sunscreen on my lips and all.
Yeah,
my God.
That's the worst.
I'm surprised how much horses shed down here, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's
They still hair up.
Yeah, I guess.
Get their winter coats. Yeah. Might shed a little earlier than home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just don't get as fuzzy as our little mammoths up here.
Yeah, Joe gets to be a little mammoth, hey?
Yeah.
When did you guys head down to Arizona?
We left the end of November.
Nice.
So we usually stay for 4 months. We go back the 1st of April, but it might be pushed up a little more this year.
Just yeah, we actually did a funny prank on Cody here. You're going to, well, she's the one in our intro today. We told her when she went to the gym, because she's pretty homesick right now. So we decided to play a prank. And when Donald Trump was on the new, like breaking news that it's a national, what did they say, a national emergency?
Yeah.
And when she came in, we're like, Cody, we're going to be stuck down here for 2 months. Like they just shut everything down. She went and called her boyfriend and went and called her mom.
Oh my. Well, they closed the schools up here in Alberta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big announcement today. That.
Yeah. Those poor parents.
Yeah. I know. Well, I think we're pretty safe down here on the ranch. I mean, there's no place I'd rather be stuck here than with Sonda and Cody and a bunch of nice horses in their eyes. So. For
sure. No doubt. It looks like a great time.
Yeah.
It sure is. So, Sonda, how did you get into horses?
Well, my mom and dad always had horses on the farm, and they put us on them early. We weren't allowed to have saddles. We rode bareback everywhere. I remember I was probably 5 years old, and I'd ride to the neighbors all by myself.
Really?
With nobody with me, and it was like 3 miles.
Oh, my God.
No worries. They just let us go, and I had a horse, actually, that I would make him put his head down. I'd say down and jump on his head and he'd toss me off.
No way. That's awesome. Do you have any pictures of that?
Mom and dad probably do, but he was getting so smart because we had to open gates. And on the way home, you know, they're ready to come home. I would undo the gate, turn around, and his head was down.
Really?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's how we got on him because he was big. But so I've been riding since I was little and, when we started rodeo, I rode cows, steers, as in the wild pony race, pony bareback.
Another all-around cow.
Yeah, no kidding.
When we rode pony bareback, we didn't have the riggings like they do now. We had to ride them with the bull riding rope. And then at the rodeos, most of the rodeos back then had chuck wagon racing, and they'd have flat racing in between the events in the rodeo. So I would do all the flat racing on the thoroughbred.
Mm-hmm.
I'd race a quarter mile, half a mile, a mile.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'd race Orville Strandquist. Ray Crota would send me some horses to ride. Bill Green would send me horses right off the track, which we later purchased. And that's how I got into the thoroughbred racing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I was 18, I went to the racetrack and raced thoroughbreds for 15 years.
Hmm.
That's so cool.
Wow. Yeah.
You spent a lot of time on horseback.
I did, yeah. I even did a little jumping way back in my day. So I kind of done every discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we were always in 4-H and stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, we did lots of clinics and, you know, learned from the best. So it was good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Were you barrel racing the whole time as well, or did that start later in life?
Well, when I was younger, yeah, I did barrel race. And then when I was about 16 or 17, I kind of quit and was getting into the race horses. And while I was on the track, I didn't barrel race at all. It was probably the last 3 years of me racing that I got back into barrel racing and started doing the maturity. So I was trying to balance both out, but it was hard because the races were on the weekends and the charities were on weekends. So I would have to, you know, pick one or the other. And the racehorses were the priority.
Yeah.
And then when we moved up to Thorsby, I sold all the racehorses and then just strictly got into training barrel horses. But I had good contacts on the racetrack for, you know, getting the running bred quarter horses. So a lot of my horses at the beginning were right from the racetrack. And I had pretty good success with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we heard that you won the LRA championship in 2010. Can you tell us a little bit about the horse that helped you get there?
Okay. Yeah. I won the High Point champion. So, yeah, that horse actually came from the track. Her name was Time to Pull Up My Socks. She was by Timeline and out of a Tulia Bunny mare. I bought her as a 4-year-old, which is when they run on the track for 4 years, it's harder to, you know, get, turn them into a barrel horse, I guess. Mm-hmm. They've got some, you know, habits. And anyways, I bought her in October as a 4-year-old, and by December, January, she was running 1D times. Wow. And she was a bit of a challenge. I ended up having to put her in a Hackamore because, believe it or not, she was too light mouthed. Just the weight of the bit would make her toss her head.
Really?
Oh, wow.
So I finally put her in a Hackamore, and that just totally changed everything. So she ran in a Hackamore right till to this day, actually. She's still alive. Hmm. Andy Utri owns her now, and she's running on her. So I think she's like 18 now, but I want a lot on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was also a Canadian Derby champion as well, right?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she won the Canadian Derby. Yeah.
So do you think, like, switching to a Hackamore, because sometimes you hear people say, like, racehorses lean on the bit or whatever. Do you think that had something to do with the switch too?
Well, yeah, because you, like, when you're galloping the racehorses, they always have contact with their mouth. They got, you know, a martingale on, and you take a cross and you got a hold of them. So that bit isn't in their mouth kind of bouncing around. You always have a hold of them. So, you know, with your barrel racing, you're taking and releasing. And she just, as soon as I would give her head, the weight of the bit would bounce around on her. And she was so light mouthed that she'd just kind of shake her head around. But as soon as I put her in the Hackamore, it was a game changer for her.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Have you guys checked out Equifuse Canada yet for everything mane and tail? If so, use our code HORSEPOR10 at checkout to save yourself 10%.
Can you tell us a little bit about the horse that you won the WRA championship on in 2014?
Okay. His name was Delta's First Candle. I called him Tiny. He wasn't Tiny. He was 16-1. But I got him off the track as a 3-year-old, and he wasn't super fast on the track. I don't even think he broke his maiden. He ran all seconds. But his sire, Delta's First Dash, I believe, was a 3/4 brother. And I didn't know this when I bought him, but he was a 3/4 brother to Dash the Dame.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was 17 hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then he was out of a special effort mare. And I actually bought 2 off the track that year. And really liked the other one, and she made $30,000 on the track, and then bought Tiny as well, planning to sell one and keep the other. And I was going to keep the mare and sell Tiny, but he, every time I tried to just go that in between speed, he'd want a buck.
Oh, so,
like, he's a good feeling horse. It was either go real slow or kind of cruise him through, but just that in between stuff, he would get all silly and just want to play. And so, anyways, I kept him because I didn't think he would be suitable for anybody. And I did really well on him. He won me lots of rodeos and did good in the futurities and derbies. And yeah. And then I sold him as a 9-year-old, actually. I didn't plan on selling him. And I just got a call from some people in the States, and they drove to Thoresby, tried him out, and took him home that night. Wow. And he's still running. He actually, he was big, but the smaller arenas, he was the toughest in them little hawks.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, he was tougher inside than out. He's a little bit of a free runner outside, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Inside, I could just let him work.
That's kind of so cool when those big horses can still do well in the little arenas.
That's
another Tiny we know.
I was actually telling her about that Tiny. He's so big.
But he still does good in the little arenas.
Yeah.
He does, yes.
So you said this one had like that buck and stuff. How did you work through that? Was it a long process?
Well, if I let him run through the barrels without, you know, kind of handling him, he was fine, but he wasn't at that stage yet. So he was tricky because it was either go real slow lope or kind of cruise them through. But when you're just training them, like you just had to find that happy medium, and he finally come out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was still a good feeling horse. Like, he was always pretty playful, and he couldn't really buck, but he was just good feeling.
So can you tell us about Time to Raise the Bar, the horse that won the Super Stakes Championship in 2014?
Okay. So I bought her out of the Super Steak sale when it was in Thorsby.
Mm-hmm.
I think I paid like $3,900 for her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she's by Timeline as well and out of a coffee bar Nunmare. And mm-hmm. she was a big, big, sick horse. And yeah, she was easy to train. She was reserve champion in the Canadian Futurity thing. And yeah, in the fall, I won the Super Stakes on her.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You like those timelines.
So, I do. Yeah, I had another one too. And she's still running now. Her name was Time for Cabochon. And oh, cool. She ran college rodeos and she's still doing good. A 1D horse.
Nice.
Yeah, those timelines can be kind of quirky, hey, but they're really, really good horses when you get them going.
Yeah, the first two weren't quirky, but that Time for Cabochon was.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was quite quirky. She was real standoffish and like a one-person horse and easy to ride, though. She was easy on the pattern. It was just mm-hmm. on the ground, bridling, trying to catch her. But the girl who bought her loves her.
Like, yeah?
Yeah, she loves her quirks and gets along fine with her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what you do? You like to get some prospects, get them going, and like find them new homes?
Yep. I love the training and love fatuating them. And then when I'm done, I like to sell them.
Yeah. Is it hard?
Start the new bat.
Is it hard to let them go? Or?
They've all gone to really good homes.
Oh, yeah.
So no, it was a little harder. Like Tiny was 9, so... Mm-hmm. I had him for quite a while, so it was harder, but he went to a good home, and the people that bought him still have him, and I think she's set some arena records inside with him as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably nice if you can see them go on and have success with their new owners.
So rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people that bought Time to Raise the Bar have actually bought 3 horses from me now.
Oh, wow.
And, I had a really nice fatuity horse last year that I didn't get to the fatuities because they bought her before I even came home.
Oh.
Like, just over the phone, just sight unseen. And just I sent them pictures. And because they bought 2 other horses from me, they knew my style and knew they suited.
Yeah. It.
So they were pretty much at my door when we got back to Canada.
Oh, yeah. So did they go on in Futurity, that horse? Or?
Yes, they did. They had a hard time getting to any races, though. They were from BC, and it rained lots last year. But, mm-hmm. yep, they did run her at Super Stakes, and they want a rodeo offer for a rodeo, so they're not really concerned about the derbies this year, probably. But yeah. I'm sure they'll take her to some, but their concern is getting her to the rodeos and stuff.
Yeah.
So how many do you like to try and sell a year and then start a year ish?
Anywhere from 1 to 3 of the same age. Like this year I have 3 4-year-olds, which that's a bit too much, but I'll probably sell one before I fatuity them. And then I just have 1 fatuity horse for this year, and I've got 1 2-year-old, I've got 2 yearlings, so I kind of have, you know, a couple of every year, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I brought 12 down here, but two were just coming 2-year-olds that were breaking. Yeah.
Okay.
And then a couple client horses I like to bring down just to.
Oh, okay. So you have client horses as well. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When I come down here, I like to bring some. That's all we do is just ride. There's lots of time for it, and the weather's good. So.
Well, speaking of that, since you're in Arizona and we're having this conversation from Arizona, what is a typical day in the life like there?
Well, I get up I get up really early, but I go out and feed at 6:37, and then go out and ride anywhere between 9 and 10. And yeah, I have a board that I keep track of all the horses that I've rode and what we've done with them. And I have a helper this year, Cody Lum, which is my son's girlfriend, came down.
Yeah.
And she brought 2 horses as well. But she's been helping me out lots and hopefully learning lots. But she's
oh, for sure
riding my style, I guess. So
yep.
It's kind of nice. I can just let her time only some of the horses, and I can time only some, and yeah, it works out good. So yeah, we ride, and then, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, we'll go time only all the 4-year-olds and run the older ones in the jackpot. And you could go to a jackpot every day here. Like, there's somewhere to run.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah. Then you can be picky and choosy where you want to run.
Yeah. I'll usually take the younger ones just to the closer events and time only them. And some of the added money ones, I'll take my fraternity colt to and run him.
Yeah. Are they mostly all standard size down there? Or?
Yeah, a lot are. The arena that's like 5 minutes from here where I've mostly been running, it's a standard pattern, but I think the score is 40 or 50 feet.
Okay.
It changes, but I think the score is 10 feet short of a standard. And same as the indoor pens. They're standard, but the score might be short.
Gotcha.
If we go to Queen Creek, they have a nice big standard pen there. And I think their ground's been voted the best ground for PRCA rodeos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's really nice. Red dirt. It's different.
Yeah, it was so cool. I ran one of Cody's horses there, and yeah, with the red dirt and like half, like just like the cover on the building and stuff, like the videos you see of the girls down in the States. Like, I've always wanted to run in something like that, and it was so cool. Like, you guys, honestly, it's wicked down here. We have to like make a trip one day, all of us. Like, as
I'm
soon as I came
it.
Out of the vehicle, yeah, and came onto Sonda's ranch, it's beautiful. Like, you see the mountains in the background, like, the neighbors have like goats and turtles and piglets and everything.
Did you say turtles?
Yeah, there's turtles. And Sonda's like, they were humping yesterday. I should have told you.
What? It's like those plastic turtles in Napa where she puts them in different.
Like, yeah, it's like the lady in Napa makes them hump. Like, they were actually, yeah, it was freaking funny. But like the dirt here and like everything. You guys should see how green the hay is down here.
I don't even want to know.
I couldn't even believe how green.
We're just shaking our heads right now, just so jealous.
They take like something like 11 cups of hay off a year or more.
11? So, what? Are
and
you...
it doesn't rain here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it's all irrigation, which is hard to believe. But, it's put up dry. I think they cut it and bale it probably the same day and have it off the field. But it's all really good quality. Yeah.
And speaking of it never raining, like, I was actually laughing about this the other day. I was like, okay, like, I come down on my first trip in how long to Arizona, and it pours rain. Like, we literally have flash flood warnings on our phones. There's an epidemic.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I get freaking heat stroke. Like, oh my God, it's actually like pretty ridiculous. But it did, for the amount that it rained, like, you should see how much it dried up.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bet.
Desert.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty funny too. We were riding our horses in a place down called the Wash, and Sonda, like, just instead of doing like barrel work all the time, she'll go and ride through like the desert parts and stuff. And that's kind of where some of like the drug trade gets brought through, and like you can see plastic bottles and stuff that they bring their water in or the drugs and stuff. It's actually kind of funny. But we were riding, and I'm like, Sonda, have you ever seen a rattlesnake in the desert here? And she's like, no, like, in the seven years that you've been here, she's never seen a rattlesnake. And as soon as she said that, like 2 seconds later, she looks to the left and there's like a rattlesnake coiled up under a bush.
I seen you posted a picture of one. Was that a rattlesnake that you posted?
No, that was just, we don't know, like a garter snake or either the tail of a lizard. Like, it was dead, but.
Oh. Yeah. Is a rattlesnake really big? Like, is it?
That one wasn't that big, but yeah, they can be big.
They
come out more like as soon as it starts warming up, they come out. So towards the middle, end of March, April, they're, and through the summer, I guess they're pretty bad. But I've been lucky enough not to see any other than that one. Thank God.
Yeah, there's black widows down here and scorpions. Yeah, and I guess someone was riding their horse in like the Wash or somewhere, and a rattlesnake came up and bit her horse.
Oh my goodness. So what do you do like when that happens?
Well, I think that horse is fine, but I think you got to give him a shot of Benadryl or epinephrine or something.
Yeah.
So
is that something like you would just carry around in your horse first aid kit or?
Well, you probably should.
Yeah.
I don't have any, but okay. I try not to ride in the wash much when it warms up.
Yeah.
Stay away from there. Yeah.
Probably a good idea. So can you tell us a little bit about Little Canada down there?
Yeah. There's a lot of Canadians that come here. I probably see more people, rodeo people here than I do at home. Yeah, there's lots of team ropers, barrel racers, mounted shooters are starting to come. And cool. All them people have friends that come and bring horses, so they stay in their yards. And
okay.
Most of the jackpots here are probably 80 to 90% Canadian.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, that is
yeah,
cool.
Like it's just one big happy family. You know everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, like even when you go to like when Cody first took me down here and she was pointing out like there's Jeremy Bueller's ranch and then you could see them roping right there and then like a door down there was someone else and they were riding their horses. Like almost every single place has an arena here and like, yeah, beautiful places. Like the houses are really cool. They're like that stucco kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually like every single time we drove by, like I just see like new things and beautiful horses, like and the stallions down here that you can just drive past, like so cool.
Oh man,
you can ride to three different arenas on our street pretty much to go rope.
Wow.
Oh, we're not Little Canada. Little Canada is probably 5-10 minutes from here.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's lots of roping arenas there. They could just on every street pretty much.
Yeah. It just, yeah. It doesn't even sound real when you're talking about it.
It's not. Like, I feel like I keep pinching myself because I feel like this is heaven.
Yeah.
Did the coronavirus kill me?
Maybe. Oh,
so what are the jackpots like down there?
They have 5D jackpots. They have a 5-10 split here, which is nice. But some of it goes 5-5-5, and then when it's a 5D, then they go a second for the 4 and a second for the 5D. So a little bit different, but your 3D, it's a 5-10 split, and some of them will go 5-10 right through as well. So, I like that a lot better. Mm-hmm. It gives them 2D horses, you know, top 2D horses a chance to make some money as well.
And have you won any big races down here?
Well, I've just been running Hawk, my security horse. So I've been really happy with him. He's been running, you know, 1D, 2D. They had two little security side pots at the Ransom Race and at Welcome Home Ranch. And he actually won them, but they were just little. But he, you know, you still have other Americans that are running, you know, some security horses. But yeah, so.
That's that Hawk one that Nadine posted a video of. Yesterday, hey?
Yeah, so he is unleashed out of Hawkinson and Softlife Special Mare. I bought him from Marcy and Billy Lay, and I actually have his full sister as well. And I have a weanling on the ground, or a yearling, I guess, now. But yeah, he's been super easy to train and very honest.
The stride on that sucker. Holy moly.
Oh, like, did you see that video of her yes. running in? Like, holy, like, I asked her, I was like, was your stomach in your throat? Because I wouldn't even know my name if I was just running that fast on a horse.
Yeah, no, he was flying. But I was having problems catching the backside of the first barrel with him. So he goes in strong, but he rates down, he just coils up. So I've been having a hard time getting my timing with him. So when I went to that jackpot, I thought, and I hadn't run there before, I thought, I'm not going to touch him. I'm just going to trust him. And he went flying in, and I thought we were running to the tractor. And he just dropped it and turned.
So that's good.
I trusted him, and it worked. But yeah.
It's hard to do sometimes.
I know. Yeah. But he's very turny. He wants to work.
So what other horses are you riding right now, and how are they bred?
Yeah. My four-year-olds, I have... Kay and Tabulous in Vegas out of a Dog's Paradise mare. Then I have a Tax to Fame out of a Western Dash mare. And I have a Decider out of a Dog's Paradise mare. So them are my four-year-olds.
Oh, cool.
And then my three-year-old is a Cartel's Cowboy out of a Meltonian mare, and he's pretty nice. He's going to be a big boy, but he's really kind and just kind of goes with the flow.
Yeah, I already looked into a sister that's for sale. That's how much I like that horse.
Oh, man, you're going to be coming up with another horse here.
I'm going to have to fit it in the airplane. Hopefully they let me put it underneath.
Oh, I bet they would.
We support your decision. And
we are very encouraging when it comes to buying horses.
Yeah, they're dangerous.
Yeah. I actually have a client horse down here. Lacey Danbrock owns him, and he's out of her stud, Dash to Flit, or Fire to Flit, out of a play gun mare. And he's really cool. Like, he is really, yeah, I really like him. So he was a little behind compared to my Futurity Colt, but he's really coming on, and I'm enjoying him.
Oh, cool. That horse like floats when he moves, and when Fonda takes him around the pattern, it's like he was bred to do it. Like, he's so cool to watch.
Yeah, he's fun.
So speaking of that, so that's you've had lots of experience and success with the running bred horses, so that one's got a bit of like very cowy on the bottom side. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I haven't rode too many that are cow bred, but he wants to race. He locks on. He still is kind of a free runner though. Like, I don't have to push him too hard. With a Dash of Fame in there. And then the Fire Water Flit, I believe, is the bottom of the tire. But yeah, he's nice. I would definitely, be interested in run with cow. But I still have to have my run there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer the run. But
you have a couple other two-year-olds, right?
Yeah, I have two two-year-olds, that another Cartel's Cowboy out of a Kidden and Streakin' and Real Easy Buy mare. And then the full sister, the Hawk, which is the Unleashed again. And she's pretty cool.
She's a fiery one.
Yeah, she's a firecracker. She's a little hotter than the gelding, but hopefully, going to mellow out a little bit.
I think we ask lots of people this question, but do you have a preference on mares or geldings, or notice any differences with the two when training?
No, I don't. I've had success with both. I can't really. Mind you, I've probably had more mares that are better than geldings, maybe, but I don't pick. I just go on the breeding, and I don't really care what sex they are.
No preference. Cool.
So Canadian jackpots versus American jackpots. What's it like hauling and bringing up a horse in Canada versus States?
Well, there's a lot more jackpots here.
Yeah.
They run their jackpots a little different as far as the time onlys or exhibitions. Like at home, we just show up at an arena early and you can just work your horses. And then at the end, you exhibition. Here, they actually, you buy your time onlys and you do them prior to the race, and they don't have exhibitions, but there's so many different arenas you can take them to here. I think you can season them a little quicker because of the different arenas. Like every day you could go to a different one. So, it's tougher though. The competition is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when Buckeye is on and you get all them girls from Texas and Oklahoma with their fraternity horses. It's tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot tougher than home.
I heard a rooster.
And like not as many indoor, like little small indoor arenas as well, right?
Yeah, it's all big, pretty much standard pattern.
I feel like it might be like easier to bring along a colt on a bigger pattern too, hey? Like just to get correct and an advantage that way, maybe.
They have time to think in between. Everything isn't coming so fast. They can relax a little more.
So let's go back to a little bit of your track history that we briefly touched on in the beginning. But you trained thoroughbreds on the track for over 15 years. Can you take us a little deeper into that experience?
Yeah, well, before I started training myself, I worked for William Leach. And anybody that has been to the track probably knows who he is. He's been the leading quarter horse trainer for years. Okay. So when I lived in Patricia, he was in Wardlow, so it was like a 15-minute drive. So we'd drive. Me and my sister actually both worked for him. And I'd gallop his horses, and we'd gate approve. And so I got to ride some really nice quarter horses. The year I worked for him, he owned this little mare called Three Little Indians, and she went on to win the, I think she was Canadian Futurity Horse of the Year, and then she derbied as well. But and he had a lot of other nice ones too. I just can't remember all their names, but that was a good experience. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the track with him, and then I had my own horses as well, and just started training the thoroughbreds, and I would scalp other people's horses on the side and gate approve them. And in the evenings, I would pony my horses if they had races, and do a lot of ponying for other people. So, and then my husband, that's actually where me and my husband met, but he would head the horses like in the gates and I would pony. So,
no.
Okay.
So we actually did get a question from Casey. I'm going to butcher her last name. Genji, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, she asked, any specific conditioning that is done to develop a powerful start out of the gate?
Out of the starting gate? Well, when you first start gate approving, you're just kind of walking the horses through and you open the gate and then let them come out slowly. And then after time, you, you know, kind of hustle them out of there. And then eventually you'll work them out of there with other horses. And they just learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a process that you don't just put them in the gate, open it, and, you know, you kind of walk them through it and then trot out, lope out. And, and then you start, galloping in company and, just hustling them out of there.
So for how powerful those horses are, have you ever been scared galloping a horse, or was it really nerve-wracking when you started?
It's definitely a technique. I could actually gallop a pretty strong horse. I remember back in Trout Springs, this older fellow named Campbell Brown would put me on his horses, and he thought it was funny, and I didn't realize it at the time, but he'd put a rubber bit on them instead of a ring bit and watch me try to gallop this horse and get him around the track. And I did it, and then, I could do it, but he only did that once, and I made him put the ring bit back in. It's a lot of technique. It's not really how strong you are. Like, you take your cross, you put it on their neck, and you let the horse pull against themselves.
Okay.
And if you got a real tough horse, you'd serve them. So you'd stand right up and just lean back and, like, hold the reins, and your body weight would then take over. But you'd only serve if it was an almost runaway.
So is this all in like a jockey saddle?
Yeah, they were flat saddles. Yep.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, that's cool.
That would take a lot of horse strength. Mm-hmm. So I do have a question about the difference between mares and colts in the race world, because there is, like, it seems like there's a lot more races that colts can enter instead of fillies, right?
Yeah.
So is there a big difference between running the two?
Well, I think mares mature quicker, like, especially on the racetrack when you're running them as two-year-olds. The mares probably mature quicker. But in the quarter horse races, it's they'll run the mares and colts together.
Okay.
For geldings. Thoroughbreds, it will be specifically for mares, specifically for geldings.
Mm-hmm.
You can run them together, but they do write races for the separate sexes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting.
So what is it like putting an off-the-track horse on the barrel pattern?
Well, I like to get them as young as I can off the track. That one that was four that I got, she was pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But, you have to put a handle on them. They're just G-haw broke. They don't run away, though. A lot of people think, you know, they're just runaways. They really don't. As soon as you give them their head, they... You know, it's when you're pulling on them and you're on the track, they'll take a hold. But
yeah,
you just have to, you know, get them moving off your legs, put a wall on them, backing up, and start doing the drills with them, and they'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Is there any different drills that you do for instilling a rate into a horse that really wants to run?
I will stop them at their hip at the barrels. Mm-hmm. But they're really not much different than, you know, any other horse.
Yeah. I think there's a big stigma that they're very intimidating because all they do is run and run away and, you know, that kind of stuff. But if they're, I guess if we start them how we would start a horse that wasn't broke, then they would kind of be what you want them to be, right?
Yeah. And all my horses have been running bred, even the ones not off the track. So, you know, you do have to sit earlier on them. They're not as ready as your cowbreds, but I guess I'm just used to them ones. Yeah. I probably wouldn't be able to ride a push down. I don't know if my legs just kick hard enough.
Yeah. And on the flip side though, like the horses that were on the track, like they've been handled a lot as like when, as they're young, and maybe seasoning would be easier for those horses because they've been exposed.
They've seen more than any other horse. The biggest thing with them ones off the track, when you do haul them somewhere, they'll wash out at the trailer. They'll hear that announcing. So if I buy a 2 or 3 year old, I'll haul it with me to the arena and just tie it up and let it, you know, kind of have its little meltdown in a couple weeks doing that. Sometimes I'll haul them, not even ride them, just let them get used to the sounds and just standing there. But that's probably the biggest thing. They'll paw, they'll, you know, do everything and
anxious.
Yeah, it takes a while to get them to relax.
Because, what Sonda was telling me is that as soon as they hear that announcement, I think they have to run.
Yeah.
And they think that it's like their rate.
Go time.
So it's hard to, or they have to be brought down from not always doing that. And plus, like, their feed as well.
Yeah. And they're fed so hot at the track. You know, they're probably getting 4 gallons of oats with everything else. So first thing you do is take them off their feed. I don't take them right off the oats. I always grain my horses, but you definitely cut back on the oats.
Yeah.
And that took me a long time when I was running the thoroughbreds and getting into barrel racing. I was feeding my barrel horses the same as I was feeding the race horses. And I wasn't having very good luck. They were not
focused. Yeah.
So it took me a long time.
So on the track, you're typically running that same direction. Do you find this goes back to the barrel pattern and the horse prefers going one direction over the other when you start that?
Yeah, you got to teach them horses to pick up their right lead. They're definitely left-handed. So it, which works good because I try to run most of my horses to the right.
Yeah.
So the left lead is more natural, but yeah, they, and they're a little stiffer to the right. So when you get them, you got to work on that. You can definitely tell they've been, you know, on their left lead the whole time.
So
training from an off the track to a finished barrel horse, what do they usually struggle with?
Well, just the hauling at the beginning. And yeah, you got to put the rate in them. I would say that running them outside, you know, you definitely have to sit earlier on them, but that's all in your training.
So for like even ground manner sense, like you see those horses and they're super fiery and running over the person that's trying to lead them. Is that hard to get them a little bit quieter on the ground as well?
Yeah, that's feed. You know, they're so high on oats. Yeah, you take them off their feed and they, and get them to the farm, get them away from the track, and they'll settle down.
Can you take us through buying a horse off the track? What do you look for confirmation wise? And there's a huge stigma that horses aren't sound coming off the track. And is this true or?
Well, I guess you got to do your vet checks. You got to watch what you buy, but typically a lot of them 2-year-olds, you know, they'll buck their shins and them owners probably don't want to leave them with the trainer that long. So a lot of them will sell them, but they'll be a little shinny, but they'll get over that. I would definitely x-ray, you know, if they're an older horse or even younger too. It's just like buying any other horse, do your vet checks. And, a lot of the people I get my horses from, I know them, so I hope they're honest with me. But it's been a few years now since I have bought horses off the track just because the incentives aren't there. And I do go by breeding. I'll look at the papers before I look at the horse. And then if I like the papers, you know, obviously confirmation. You know, I don't want anything too long in the back or, you know, if the breeding is good and they're a little towed out, I can handle that. I don't like towed in. There's no perfect horse.
No, for sure.
So what about something a little bit more cow hawk?
Well, that's time to pull up my socks. She was cow hawk.
Cause they say it adds speed almost sometimes. Cause they can get underneath themselves a little bit more.
And she was very turny and she was the one off the track. But she was very cow hawked and she's 18 or 19 now and still running. So soundness wise, she held up.
Is cow hawked when like their hocks go in a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Zeus was super cow hawk.
Oh yeah. So when you are doing your vet checks and looking at confirmation before purchasing, what do you like to x-ray?
Well, knees and ankles and hocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are your go-tos.
Do you notice that there's like a bit more of like a shin splint on these horses as well? Cause they're, when they grow and develop and they're still pushed at such a young age, do you notice that's something that's very common with horses off the track? And is that something to worry about?
Yeah, it's very common. And no, I wouldn't be worried about that.
No.
Once it's set. Actually, all my timelines, and I don't know if it's breeding as well or certain bloodlines, they all had shin splint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, or pop the splint, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, and then kind of diving into a little bit of bleeding, do you notice horses, when they're pushed that young, tend to bleed, or have you ever dealt with a bleeder?
When I was on the track, I did. I had one quarter horse that bled, and I had a thoroughbred that bled. Mm-hmm. But as far as barrel horses, I've been lucky enough not to have anything that's bled yet, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Nice. Even them, the ones that I bought off the track.
Okay.
I've never had one bleed. So that's just luck, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say.
So you're a big papers girl. Wow. What names jump out to you on paper?
Well, the Dash to Fame, Frenchman's Guy, you know, any first down dash or dash for cash. Offspring, there's getting to be so much out there now.
There is, yeah.
It's changing all the time with all the big charities down here. As soon as somebody has a hot one, that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the bloodline everybody wants. But yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with the dash to fame.
Anything with a dash in it. Just kidding. So did you notice like a lot more like old school bloodlines on the track, like thoroughbred bloodlines? Is that something you'd like to cross as well, or something that jumps out just from your experience on the track?
I probably wouldn't like any thoroughbred in there.
No,
even though I race thoroughbreds and I preferred thoroughbreds, but you know, they're a distance horse there.
Yeah,
although a lot of the older quarter horses do go back to thoroughbreds, but mm-hmm. I know of one thoroughbred that actually ran pretty tough. So
which one was that?
Jill Craig actually owned her. I can't remember her name. And Cheryl Mullaney ran her.
Okay.
And ran pro on her. And she did really well.
Yeah.
Like, she surprised me. Yeah. She was a nice little mare. But she was straight thoroughbred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's probably the only one I know of, actually.
Oh, really?
That was straight thoroughbred. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said when people win at the futurities, like, there's always hot new bloodlines. What would be your dream cross right now?
Probably a Dash to Fame Frenchman's Guy, if I could afford one, but I probably never will be able to afford one.
Oh, you sell a couple of them prospects. I think you could.
Yeah,
probably. But, you know, we are getting lots of good studs up in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
You know, it's getting better and better. So,
mm-hmm.
And with that Super Stakes program and the Western Fortunes and
it's
It's worth breeding, you know, to the studs there.
Oh, definitely.
So how do you think papers play a big role in picking out a horse?
I do go right by the paper. Like, I'll look at paper before. You know, if something has been working and you've seen offspring by that breed, you're going to go pick something bred similar. You'll have a pretty good idea that it might turn out. Although there's horses that, you know, there's cowbred horses that do well that, you know, you would never expect. So, but I do like to go off the papers. If it's something that's been running good and it's been proven, I'll go more for that.
Yeah. So a lot of our guests talk about how it doesn't really matter to them too much in a sense, because they want to know how much heart the horse has. Is there a way to tell how much heart a horse will have at such a young age when you're purchasing them?
Not so much purchasing, but when you're training them at a young age and, you know, if they either want to work or they don't.
Yeah.
And if, you know, they're a 4-year-old and they're just not into it and you've done all the right work with them, you know, if they're indicating they don't want to do it and I'm struggling to make them do it, I'll quit on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about that 4-year-old?
You know, you don't know that. Yeah. You don't know until you sort them.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like that was something a little bit tough to gauge if you're just going to go purchase, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say heart will take you further than anything else, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
Yeah. We were just talking about that Snowman documentary, and that horse was not built to be a jumper, but he jumped because he wanted to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know Dr. Briggs always said a horse with heart will take you, a sore horse with heart will take you further than a sound horse with no heart.
Yes. Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
So speaking of training these young ones, we might have touched a little bit about this in the beginning, but wondering if there's any more detail you want to give us just about what a training day looks like at your ranch down there.
Well, depending what stage they're at, the last 3 years, actually, I've been doing a lot of round penning, and that's the first thing I do is put them in the round pen before I ride them, get them supple. And then I get on them in the arena and warm them up some more. And, if they are just young ones, we'll put them on the 3-barrel drill before they even do the pattern. Once they're doing the 3-barrel drill good, you know, both ways, then I'll put them on the pattern and I'll kind of go back and forth there. If I have any problems, I go back on the 3-barrel drill and, then to the pattern, but I'll ride them out in the wash and I'll pony off them. I try to mix it up a bit so they don't get too tired from doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By 3-barrel drill, do you mean like setting them up in the pattern and then you kind of lope around them each way, but not in the sequence of the pattern?
Yeah, I'll put them in a line, like just a straight line.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll work each barrel, like all lefts, and then switch it up and do all rights. And when they're going to their points and framing up nice, then and I'll do that for probably, especially the young ones, they'll be on that for probably a month before they ever see the barrels. And I always will set up the 3-barrels like in between, just to, if I'm having any problems, I'll go back to the 3-barrels.
Okay, cool.
Actually really neat to see some of the workhorses here, like even like her horses that she rides every day, like they still get round pens. They know like to respect like how you ride, and that they frame up so beautifully. Like as soon as you get on her horse, like they're already like carrying their body so nice. And it's actually something I'm going to take back home and do with my own horses because it just works so well.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear all about
mm-hmm.
it.
I'm not going to give you guys all her secrets. You're going to have to pay me $5 a freaking
$5. That's it.
$5 a tip.
Yeah, the round pen is a big part of my training now. I never used to do it, and I can definitely see the difference in how the horses are framing up, and they're a lot softer in my hands.
Mm-hmm. And even the way that Sonda rides, like even using the outside rein, like I wasn't using as much as I really should have, like getting on her horses and just kind of moving your hands with them. And I felt like using a lot more of that outside rein with like how she rides really gets them to prevent them from drifting out. And like we talked yesterday when we had our lesson, that closing that door and making sure that they don't drift out. And the way I rode before I came down here compared to how I ride now riding with Sonda is like unbelievable. It's a huge change. And it rained so much, we didn't get a whole bunch of time in the arena, but I felt like just with what we did.
Oh yeah, it made a big difference in your riding. Yeah. You look good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Me too.
And we actually, that outside rein thing, we did a lot of that this weekend too. And we did a horsemanship clinic and it was mostly just, like walking and trotting and stuff. But we really focused on using the outside rein and like how you close that door too. So it's neat to see the two principles there.
Yeah. And like what Cody and Sonda kind of say is like, it's almost more important than your inside rein when you're like going around in a circle.
Yeah. We call it the helper rein all the time. And, you're using both reins, but you're helping them with that outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It almost helps them balance a little bit more, hey, like on that bit. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. They stay more up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They crest.
So we talked about the 3-barrel drill for introducing a horse to the pattern. So how do you keep a pattern horse solid? Is there things that you do to make sure that they do good in between jackpots? Well, I guess not really down here since there's so many, but maybe back up in Canada.
Yeah, I will. I don't overdo it with the barrels once they're running good. I wouldn't say any of my horses are solid or seasoned because I'm
they're all so young, and I, you know, they're 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds when I sell them. So that's not really a seasoned horse, but, I will work. I don't work the barrels as much once they're working good, but I'll do a little tuning in between, mm-hmm. you know, if they need it, but I ride them out more than anything. Just keep them fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys checked out Level Up Apparel yet? If not, check them out on our Instagram or their Instagram and use horsepoor at checkout to save yourself 10%.
What do you do if you have a horse that gets blown up for like during this process of putting them on the pattern and getting them solid? How do you bring them back?
I kick them out.
Okay.
I just turn them out for a couple months and just let them, yeah. If they're blown up and not wanting to work, it's like, yeah, you're not going to, you know, install it in them. But if you kick them out for a couple months and let them, you know, sit on it and want it when they come back, I find I have better luck with that. It's almost like you kick them out for 2-3 months, bring them back, and you would think somebody was on them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're wanting to work. They're fresh. They're hunting it again.
Mm-hmm. It's like you almost have to let them be a horse a little bit, right? Like we almost forget that they are horses, and sometimes they do need a break. Instead of, they're not like a machine that we can just drill into them every single day, right?
Yeah, you know, and I understand, like if something has ulcers or they're sore, you know, mm-hmm. that's not going to help that. But if they're just a young one and they're mentally not handling it, just kick them out.
Yeah,
give let them think time. About it. I try to break up my training, like when I, you know, I break them as 2-year-olds and then kick them out. And then as a 3-year-old, we come to Arizona. And that's when I kind of am serious about patterning them, putting them on the 3-barrel drill. So as soon as I get home again in April, I'll kick them out again for a couple months and get back on the 3-year-olds in the fall. And then as they come to be 4-year-olds, start hauling them, start time owning. But I'm always giving them a month or two break in between. Mm-hmm. I'll put 3-4 months on them and then I'll kick them out.
Give them some time off. Okay. So when you actually get to an event, what's your routine with a young horse versus maybe something more seasoned?
Yeah, I'll time only them. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely do the time onlys. I usually buy 3-4 time onlys per horse. And I don't cruise them through. I'll just lope them through, you know, just keep them correct and keep them quiet. I don't usually make runs on my horses. Like, even at home, I don't make a hard run. I might, you know, half speed through, but I save that for the jackpots.
Okay. So you kind of ask for some speed at the jackpots and then see how it goes, and then you are back to the drawing table if you need to tweak anything.
Yeah. Introduce some speed and see how they handle it, and then do the slow work again for a while. But when I'm doing my time only, I don't run through. I'll just take them slower.
Okay. Let's put a spin on that. What about your warm-up? What's your warm-up routine? And then is there any differences between stages of horses in that?
At a jackpot or at home?
At a jackpot.
Yeah, so we'll just, we'll do 10, 15 minutes of warm-up and then go. There's their lineups down here for time only are really, really long. That's why it's nice to have Cody here because we can both get on. I have 3 4-year-olds, so, and then my 5-year-old, we time only everything. So we both jump on the horses and stand in line and then do what we have to do and then go back to the trailer and switch horses out. And
so is there no actual warm-up arena there?
There is at TAC, yeah. They have a nice warm-up arena. So we'll warm them up for 10 minutes. And we're not making runs. We're just loping them through. So we go through probably 4 times. So by the, you know, after the first time only through, they're warmed up even more.
Oh,
well,
yeah, for sure.
Even like the heat down here, those horses don't need to be worked super hard before just because it's so hot. Like those horses are already warm when you start saddling them, that they don't really need to be loped down or warmed up quite a bit just because, it's freaking hot.
It'd be cool to see some of that like time only routine happen at the odd jackpot up here just to see how it goes. It sounds interesting because you kind of get to go through that pattern and that pen with your horse.
You're the only one in the arena. Like it's different than at home. Everybody isn't running around and you're trying to weave through people. It's just your time in the arena.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that idea versus exhibitions because, you know, you get the time only, you got to go before. So it's almost like if you want to do a run after, like an enter, you can know if your horse is ready by doing the time only instead of waiting for the jackpot to be done and then exhibition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my time only fees down here, they're probably my biggest expense. Cause,
really?
Yeah. I take four horses, and then Cody takes, you know, we have sometimes six horses to time only.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you're only running a couple, but you just got to get them 4-year-olds out. So I call to lots of different arenas and get 4 time onlys per horse. Like it adds up. Yeah.
Is it more than like $5 a minute or whatever it is here?
Yeah. Most of them are $5 for 2 time onlys. And I get, so it's $10 a horse every time.
Yeah.
Times 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, then that's Canadian, like when our Canadian. Yeah, that's American. So
yeah,
it's about $100 to do that.
That's true.
So what I was also going to say too is like that's almost a good thing for training as well because they get the jackpot atmosphere, like being there, and then you can almost do like a mock jackpot, and then you can bring them back down and still work them after that, and no one's yelling at you saying your time. Like, you know what I mean? Like I've gotten yelled at a couple times for trying to do that at a jackpot. That's a really good tool to use.
Yeah, you can get further ahead down here with the time only.
And you guys should see, like, the lineup of people that are at the jackpots down here that these girls run with. Like, Cody touched on a little bit about it at the intro of this episode, but it's really surreal that you got to, like, just walk around and you see these ladies that have been to the NFR and are people in the lineup, like you said, that are unbelievable riders. And that's really, really cool.
Oh, for sure.
So what equipment do you like to typically use and what are your top 3 bits that you like to use? That's always a fun question.
Okay. Yeah, I love bits. Yeah. well, last year I got into the cowpuncher bits and I think I have every mouthpiece. There is that one and 2 of each. But yeah, I was introduced to them and I love, so they're cow puncher and the bit I really like is the floating port. And I can put that on my 3-year-old, my 4-year-olds, my older horses, and they all seem to handle it well. And I like port, so it frames them up nice. They, you know, break at the pole nice. You have another bit, but it's not too much to scare them. And I have one in a chain as well. So it's, they have nice weight to them and it's more of a my training bit, I guess. And then I'll run in something different. Like I typically try not to ride all the time in the same bit and run in it because they all get dull. You eventually have to switch it up. But my running bit that I like to run in is an Elliott.
Okay.
It's the spur up with the, it's a port, but it's got the cricket on it as well. And that's what I run Hawk in. And he loves the little cricket on there. He's constantly working that bit. I've actually had people come up to me and ask me if they can see my bit because they like the sound. But I love Elliott bits. Like there, I've got lots of Elliott bits. And I kind of have my, you know, when I train my young ones, what bit I put them in the snaffle. And then after the snaffle, I put them in a draw gag. I love the draw gags. And they're in that for a while. And then they go to Elliott. I don't know which one it is. It's a spur up, but it's got a long gag on it, just a mild bit, and then into the cow punchers, and then into that, well, another Elliott with a shank.
And then I used to have a Martin Crown seat saddle, and I didn't like it because my feet kept going back. But Sonda actually rides in all Martins down here, but they're the Sherry, or what are they?
The Sherry Service. So the Stingray. So that was just out a couple years ago, and also the BTRs. So they're opposite of the Crown Seats. They actually have forward hung stirrups, so your feet don't get behind you. So they totally revamped that. And I love them saddles.
They're actually super comfy to ride, and I actually really like that saddle that I ride in at Jackpot.
Yeah. Can we go back to bits for a little bit here?
Sure.
So that series of bits you were talking about, you have them started in a snaffle, and you move up to the draw gag. When do you decide to move them up and why?
Usually when I start doing the drills, I'll move them into something else. I just don't like a horse heavy in my hands, and the round pen helps that. But also these.
So, yeah, I
start all my 2-year-olds in the snaffle, of course. And as soon as, you know, they're working off my legs and ready for the next stage, I'll put them in a draw gag. And after the draw gag, I'll put them in the cow puncher bits. But they'll be in the snaffle and the draw gag for quite a while before I do that. I find that the cow puncher bits, they just don't get heavy in your hands and they'll frame up better. I like them soft. So,
yeah.
You know, I'll ride them in either the chain cow puncher and then after that, the floating port. But, you know, of course, it all goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from that, I'll run them in the Elliott bits.
All of us barrel racers love the Elliott bits.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We can't have enough of them.
No.
Yeah. Never. But I really like my port bits. I like a port on my bits. I just feel that they'll break at the pole better. They frame up better. You know, it doesn't scare them. They actually have tongue relief, I find, from it.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Sonda, for all that knowledge and even for having me down here. So where can people find you online and follow the process with your horses?
So you can find me on Facebook, of course, and Instagram under Sonda Marks Barrel Horses. And I actually do have a website with all my horses and sold horses and prospects and videos and stuff. I do have to update a little bit of that website. But
gotcha. Did you say it was SondaMarksBarrelHorses.com?
Yeah.
Okay. It just cut out a little bit there, so I just wanted to repeat that part.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect. And so what are your 2020 plans? Is it the same as 2019?
Well, no, because I didn't have a fraternity for last year because I told her before the fraternity started. But I am keeping this one till after the Super Stakes. So I was actually entered in the Blue Bonnet and the Classic Equine at Queen Creek here in Arizona. But they were both just recently canceled because of the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, crap.
So, and then once I get home, and if this one isn't canceled, I'll have to go back to Washington to the Walla Walla fraternity.
Okay.
The Sand Cup.
Okay.
I believe it's called the Sand Cup. Or the VGBRA. Anyways, hopefully that one's a go. And then I'm hoping all the other ones will be a going in Canada, but I'll be entered in Cardston and, or not Cardston, but the South Country and the Claire's Home one.
Yellow Rose.
So I do plan to do all the Yeah.
Cool. And do you dabble into the rodeo at all or just stick with the fraternity horses primarily?
Well, if one of the horses doesn't sell and they're, you know, good enough to go rodeoing off of, I will enter some rodeos or, you know, if I think they're going to be tough, but I would rather sell them right after the year.
Okay.
So do you plan on taking any client horses on this summer?
Yeah, I think I will this summer just because I own a couple for April. And then Cody Lum, been helping me down here all winter, is going to continue riding with me. And she probably will take on some client horses as well. So if anybody, you know, looks for somebody, she has done a fantastic job down here and has learned lots and wants to learn more and rides very similar to me. I would let her run my
own. Cool. Good to know.
But yeah, I'm going to take on some more. So yeah.
Nadine, you better take it away with this last question. This one's yours.
Okay. Sounds good. So we were kind of talking about this already and Sonda shared this story with me. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. So we like to end off all of our podcasts with something a little bit funny. So can you tell us a bit of a funny or embarrassing story that happened to you while you were either rodeoing or jackpotting?
Sure. So this is back at the Eller Rodeo. I had one of the rounds, but I hit a very little, like the last round, and it was the last day, so it was the championship. So I hit a barrel, so I went back to the barn, unsaddled my horse, and I had her in the wash bay. This was time to pull up my socks. and I was washing her, and Jill Craig comes running through the barn and says, "Sonda, Sonda, it's a runoff." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Oh my God, paddle your horse." And she's soaking wet. So I throw the saddle on her, Jill's putting the boots on her, put the bridle back on, run over, and they're calling my name. And me and Cindy Gamroth had a runoff. So anyways, we both run, and I think I was a 13.54, and she was a 13.52. So anyway, she won the LRA championship. But yeah, I was still in the wash bay with the soaking horse.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
So, oh man. Good thing the saddle's stuck on there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know. I was worried the fly off.
So how come they have a runoff? How does that happen?
Well, it was all on points. And because I had won quite a few of the rounds, even though I hit a barrel, it's just the way it played out. I was still higher in points and it was a tie.
Oh, my.
So
gotcha. Gotcha.
Runoff. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for all your time today. Yeah. That was
we're going to be soaking up some rays here. Probably going to hop on some horses. You guys should probably go put on some insulated coveralls.
It's quite warm out here now. It's like, what was it, 16 or something? Or
yeah, feels warm compared to this
minus
weekend.
Minus 16 Celsius.
I look like a Carhartt Michelin man trying to ride the horse this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, we'll be riding in a bikini top, getting a tan. Just kidding. I'm going to have to wear a freaking long sleeve to cover my sunburn.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, my nose was even swollen, like, you guys, like, it was that bad.
Swollen? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Nadine.
Yeah, it was so bad. Like, I had,
weren't you wearing a
I
hat?
I had a rash coming up my arm from, like, the freaking thing, and Cody's like, you're a freaking idiot.
Oh boy.
Oh geez.
Yeah.
Diener.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Sonda, for our time and letting us convince you into doing this podcast. That's for sure.
Well, thanks for having me. I was a little out of my comfort zone, but you guys made me feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, you did great.
Kim was giving her some pointers yesterday.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, and maybe we'll run into you if our trip doesn't get canceled because of this coronavirus. We were hoping to make it down and watch the Yellow Rose Futurian Derby.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So we'll
have to have like maybe a little catch-up episode with her. And you guys
that would be great.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we will chat with you guys later.
Well, we hope Nadine makes her home safe from Arizona.
Yeah, she they announced the borders were closing this morning, and she is boarding her plane tomorrow morning.
Yeah, today is Wednesday. So yeah, by the time this episode drops on Monday, we will have
Her back.
Hopefully have her back. But then she'll be quarantined. But
yeah.
Lucky for technology, we can like three-way call into this little box that we have that records our podcast, our Roadcaster, and we can hopefully get lots of this type of stuff done.
Yeah.
In that downtime.
For the next little while.
Yeah. Except for me and Stevie have Stevie and I have a little confession to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. There a week or so back, we said we were going to gym it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then do like stretching on the other 2 days.
Unfortunately, we haven't made it.
Yeah. Hey, we did go to the gym
last week.
Twice?
Last week we went twice.
We went to the gym like twice maybe since that announcement when we should have probably went 6 times, but... So, I mean, like, a little progress is maybe better than no progress, but we're giving ourselves the next few days and this weekend to just regroup.
Yeah. And we'll start next week on Monday.
Yes, on Monday. And, we're going to have to go with the rule that, like, we have to snap it or it didn't happen.
Yeah, so. That's true. We did snap the first one.
We did.
Didn't we?
Yeah, so we got to keep that up so the ride or dies know that we're being honest and can hold us accountable. Putting it out there again. We're going to try harder next time.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But we won't keep you guys too much longer because I think we have so much information jam-packed into the episode you just listened to and probably got to get you on your merry way.
Yeah, lots of good information, though, I think, from Cody and Sonda.
Yes, could almost have made that a two-part or two-episode episode thing. They were both great.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
We'd like to give a special thank you to all of our supporters. Some have been there from the very beginning, some a little more recently. But that would be Level Up Apparel, Equifuse Canada, Dynamic Equine, OE Nutraceuticals, and then another special shout out to 2R Barrel Horses and Lacey Ranch for their barrel racing and self-empowerment clinics that we were fortunate enough to take. We just want to say thank you to all of you guys and then to our listeners. Don't forget to subscribe, better yet, rate and review the podcast, and find us on all the social medias, Facebook and Instagram so far.
And
get rich or ride trying.